Bobby Bones post-show pre-show.
We finish up today's show. We get going a little later here today if you're watching on Facebook. I don't know where Amy is.
She's MIA.
Is she cutting commercials? She's got to fly to LA in just a minute. So she's probably working. But she's going to come in a second. A woman kidnaps a car salesman during a test drive and then gets into a police chase.
Whoa.
I just saw this one. A woman in Washington took a car for a test drive and wound up kidnapping the car salesman. She's facing several charges. She's 32 years old, Spokane, Washington. She went to a Nissan dealer for a test drive, but somehow it turned into a kidnapping. And when she wouldn't let the car salesman get out, he called the cops. And then they chased, and they drove slowly. It was a boring chase at first. Amy just walked in. Mm-hmm. I was sticking up for you. I said you're probably doing commercials.
I was.
Yeah.
I'm still not done. Oh. I've been trying to knock those out all day.
And so they did the slow chase, then sped up, and then she wound up slamming into three cars. It was a whole thing.
Wow. Like, I've never heard of that happening, like kidnapping the car salesman. But you think about it, that's a risk, getting in the car with someone. Like, they're in control. You're just sitting in the passenger seat.
Yeah, well, it's just like an Uber.
Yeah. Well, yeah, all that's risky. It's just funny. I've never heard of that happen.
But I guess the difference would be, as a car salesman, you're probably in it with a lot of people. When I get an Uber, I get in one a week.
Yeah.
As a car salesman, you're probably in it a few times a day.
Oh, all day.
All the time. So I think that's hilarious because nobody got hurt.
Right.
Yeah. By the way, it's Raymundo's birthday today. We briefly hit that today, but how old are you, Raymundo?
34.
Do you know that I went and tried to find a bottle of Thumbsucker or whatever it's called?
Pappy Van Winkle?
Yeah. And did you know that it only really comes out of Thanksgiving?
Thank you. It's exclusive. It's rare. I said it's the shot, and it's going to be your shot.
And so they didn't have four different places.
Oh.
And they were like, we only have it for Thanksgiving.
Dang.
Which is coming up, by the way. But actually, I have a gift for you if you want it.
Yeah! You want me come in there?
Yeah, come on in.
All right.
Sit in the guest chair, Ray.
Yeah.
Put Raymundo in the guest chair. Raymundo, our audio producer. You can sit in that
guest chair.
Guest chair. Put that mic on, or you can hold it.
Mike, it's number two, or one.
Mike's got to run around the board for it. Does Mike know how to run your board?
Maybe. Mike, see number one.
Mike Diaz, yeah.
Of course they do.
Oh, of course they do.
Of course he does.
If Raymundo went down, Mike D, could you do it?
I could take a little bit of training and figure it out.
Yeah. Your gift is right there if you want to grab it.
Yeah.
Looks like booze.
How old are you today?
34, baby.
34 years old.
It's a proud 34.
Why does that look like booze? Why does that look like booze?
I don't know.
It's the shape of a bottle.
Right.
I mean, like,
it's a bag. Could be anything.
Tell us why it looks like booze.
I don't know.
Eddie, it's definitely an alcohol bag.
And. Hey!
Is that Dom?
Dom Perignon Vintage 2008,
Pop it.
Baby.
Let's go!
Wow.
Good Lord.
Oh,
that
right.
is amazing.
And
thank
they
you, dude.
Are gonna...
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Hey, seriously, in that hot tub, dude.
You got the camera on that bad boy?
That's,
of course I do.
Sizzin.
Dang.
It's Dom Sizzin.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Sizzin Dom.
I mean, that's next to Pappy Van Winkle, that's probably the next tier. Like, that is very, very expensive alcohol. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. What are you going to do for your birthday?
We're going to the mountains for the whole weekend, going to Gatlinburg.
Uh-oh.
It could happen.
Oh, the proposal.
Oh, all I know is he looked down as soon as he said that.
Yeah,
and it's his birthday.
Oh,
and it helps you, and it helps you remember.
And you have the dog, dude.
Come on.
Hey, usually he straight out denies, and this time he just got quiet.
He leans back, guys, and he can't stop smiling.
We're going with friends. It's a bunch of couples, so it'd be very, very difficult. And you're dealing with, I mean, it's the mountains, there's bears, there's crazy stuff going on.
You don't want to be like, will you marry, and get mauled, right?
That'd be the worst. I plan all this, and the bears there in the background attack me.
What are you talking about?
Oh, my God.
Actually, as long as everyone's
fireworks.
Fine.
Do you go and just, is it a lot of drinking? And your birth, you guys going to go hard?
No, we're really not. One of my girls, I mean, her nurse is there from the hospital. I'm pretty sure she's working on her master's. So I don't think people can be hung over for days and days. It's go have dinner, enjoy yourselves. College football's in full swing. It's not really a drinking crowd like I used to be friends with my buddies. This is couples now.
All right, well, happy birthday.
Thank
you. You're adulting.
Little gift from me.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Amy, anything you want to say to Raymundo?
Happy birthday.
I appreciate it, girl.
I gave him a hug. Ray, are you a hugger? I didn't even really think.
I am, but
we don't
it's
really
in awkward
hug.
Confines. If I'm out at a club, I'm drinking, I'll hug. But
I know. It's not often that, you know, you just go in the glass room and start passing out hugs.
Raymundo had to dog sit for an entire weekend. Is that last weekend?
It might have been 2 weekends ago. It was very recent,
though. And Ray is not a dog guy, which is weird. He doesn't like dogs. Like, what kind of human doesn't like dogs?
Yeah, he's scared of them.
Well, when I lived with Lunchbox, he had the, I believe they're bulldogs, right?
I had a pit bull and a boxer.
He doesn't even know.
That's no clue.
A bulldog's very distinct. I have a bulldog.
Bobby has a bulldog.
Yeah,
Ray.
Pit bull and a boxer. And Ray was terrified of them because they were big.
Why don't you like dogs, though, from a kid? Like, where is it rooted?
Honestly, I've always been smaller, so the dogs had, for a longest time, were bigger than me. My parents had the biggest dogs. So, I mean, they would bark, and I was attacked at one point. So I've just always not liked dogs. I'm fine with them now, so that was the ironic thing. The girl hit me up. She's a neighbor of mine. And goes, can you do me a solid and help me with the dog? I did, but I'm not a dog guy.
What kind of dog was it?
Good thing, golden retriever. Probably the nicest out there. I mean, the thing sat, did everything I needed it to do. It wasn't overly aggressive with other dogs. It was very simple, but man, talk about a learning experience. I haven't held a dog's chain in 20 years. Leash. I mean, since I was a kid walking
chain.
Our dog.
Dog's chain. What? Back when you used to walk that junkyard dog.
So, yeah, that was great. Leash. Yeah.
Happy birthday, bud.
Thank you.
Hope you have a good one. You can unmic.
Mikey, drop.
Yeah,
you
can go now.
I know that. Well, Amy's got to go cut some commercials. We can't go too long. She's got to go cut. And then she's got to leave fly to Los Angeles. Doing Trisha Yearwood show tonight.
Yeah.
So, that's a long flight. Holy moly.
I know. That's what why I decided. Southwest. I know. And it's not like I would have, Southwest has the same seats, because sometimes if you get upgraded, like what, when we went to Family Feud, because Steve Harvey paid for it.
They flew us first class to
Family Feud. Wow. That does you wrong, because then you're like, back when you're on Southwest, you're like, oh man. But Southwest is still amazing. But
what do you have, like what number I was going to ask?
Oh, I'm A.
One?
I think I'm A4.
If you're in front of A30, you'll get at least a good window seat.
Oh yeah, I'm in the A top 10. Also, it's such a long flight. That's why I decided to stay till tomorrow morning, Saturday morning. Today's Thursday, but Saturday morning, because you're already all the way over there and I have a friend there. So it's like, okay.
I sit in the same spot every flight.
Mm-hmm.
You do.
Southwest, about 12 rows back when you're looking on the right side, and I have the spot that doesn't have, that has like a window part of it, but also the part with no window.
Right.
So I can lay my head.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. You get there early.
I know.
I'm good at this. I will fly to LA and back the same day. I've done that before a couple times.
Well,
and you're just dehydrated.
I'm taking that extra day there.
Yeah, gone. No, I get it. I would too.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, too, a little hack where if you sit on row 9, that's where the waitress starts serving the drinks. So you'd be the first to order and get your drink.
Oh, and I got a drink coupon.
Oh, someone's
getting a drink. I don't ever
get
those, but I think I must have I finally hit status on Southwest, like I'm in the next level, maybe. Because
you've flown so much.
I've been flying so much because when I got my boarding pass emailed to me, it included a drink coupon.
Nice.
And I was like, should I have a drink on my way to Trisha?
If you're in the front A's, then you get a drink coupon.
Yeah, you might be one of those people that did the
like
business
preferred.
I didn't book the flight, so yeah. Oh, thanks.
Let me say this too. This is a cool thing that we're doing. Again, they're not paying me to say this, but Eddie and myself, we have a comedy group called The Raging Idiots. We're playing in Vegas in November. Amy, you can go if you need to go.
I don't. Okay.
You have spots you have to do?
Yeah.
You're good. You're clear. Okay. Eddie and I do a show, and we're doing a show in Vegas in November. So we got with The General, and they have, you know, for a great low rate, you can get online. Go to The General and save some time. You make up your own version of that. Same words, but you can do however you want. And send it in, and you can win a trip to Vegas for a couple nights. We'll fly out. You meet us. Go to the show. Go to bobbybones.com. It's up there. It's really easy. You can make your own video pretty simple. You can do it however you want. Do it in a different language. Metal. Yell it like metal.
For a great low rate, you can get online.
You don't need an instrument. Do it however you want. But it's a really cool trip, and I hope you guys can get in and win that. We're done. Amy's gone. She's heading to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
On the same podcast feed, we're putting up the Tom Douglas. So after this loads up too, check that out, because ACM Song of the Year went to Miranda Lambert, House That Built Me. She didn't write it, but we have the writer on that did, talking about how he wrote the song. It took 7 years to write. So I encourage you to listen to that Bobbycast too.
It's cool.
But it'll be on this feed instead of the Bobby Bone Show one. I think that's it. Morgan, number 2, did you text me something good or no? Oh, a video of Sister Hazel?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you guys on tomorrow's show. Here is Thursday, September 5th show right now.
It's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
And welcome to Thursday's show. Morning, studio.
Morning.
People with tattoos are more reckless and impulsive. Mike D handed me this story this morning, and I don't feel like I'm reckless and impulsive at all. Maybe I'm impulsive a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, when I see something I want, I would get immediately, I don't spend any time looking. Like, okay. I'm impulsive in that way.
In that way, yes.
Just not reckless. But I have one, two, I have four tattoos, all in the same spot on my body, like from the forearm to that little crease in the elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And you have three?
Two.
Are you getting any more? Or do you feel like you kind of...
No, I still want to get a third. I just haven't gone to do it. I know, I'm not that impulsive.
What are you going to get?
I'll Fly Away, I think.
The whole song written on your back?
No, just those words.
With the music scales, all of it?
It was my mom's favorite hymn, so I think that, but I just don't know how. And then maybe like a bird.
Oh, so you're getting a full body. You're getting a whole sleeve. No. Something. It's like, oh, maybe. Oh,
I
maybe.
I just don't know where or what, but I keep talking about it.
Didn't one of the low cash guys say that he was going to do
yes,
it?
Yes, their grandfather or great grandfather was one of the writers of that song or something.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And they said, yes, they would do some artwork with it and give it to me, draw it up. But I haven't seen it yet.
Today is a big day in country music history. We're going to start the show with this, On This Day in Country Music.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On This Day in
Country Music.
Glen Campbell topped both the country and top 40 charts at the same time. Amy, what song? What's Glen Campbell's biggest song?
I have no idea.
Eddie?
Rhinestone Cowboy?
There you go.
Oh.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
Yeah. The great part about this song is that he heard it while he was in Australia, and he's like, he got a cassette of it and brought it back to the States. And he goes, hey, this song's good. And for him, he was like, it's the best song I ever heard because it's about a guy, an older guy who had been through a lot and kind of lost it. And at the time of his career, his TV show had been canceled. His acting gigs had dried up. He hadn't had a hit since 1971. And so here it is 4 years later, and he goes, this song's kind of about me.
Wow.
Rhinestone Cowboy. So he cuts it. It ends up being the biggest song of his career.
Wow.
And so it was number one, top 40 and country. It's basically Old Town Road. Yeah, that's right. Hit it again. Rhinestone Cowboy.
Like a rhinestone.
The song was originally recorded in 1974 by this guy here, Larry Weiss. Check this out. Here you go.
Like a rhinestone cowboy.
There you go. That's On This Day in Country Music.
Here's the Bobby Bones Show podcast highlight segment of the day.
Let me talk to Laura in North Carolina who has called us. Laura, what's happening?
Hey, how are you guys?
We're real good. We're about to start this fantasy draft. Let me ask you, Laura. We're doing first dances at a wedding. Songs, first dance at a wedding. What would you pick as the first overall pick, Laura?
My Best Friend by Tim McGraw.
Ooh, solid.
Whoa. Didn't even think about that
solid
one.
Solid pick.
What, Amy?
Mike D, what is literally the song?
Oh, you don't. She didn't steal it from you.
Yeah.
It's still available.
I'm sorry, Amy.
No, it's good. It's fine. I forget. I'm the first one because I was thinking, oh great, someone's going to take it, and it's right
You're
here at
first.
The top of my list.
You get angry for no reason about
that. I wasn't angry.
You threw your hands in the air. Didn't she throw her hands in the air?
Yes. I was like, oh. But
and Mike D, what was my first song?
Yeah, but that wasn't angry. If that's angry,
you haven't
seen angry.
You very much were frustrated. And a little angry.
No, I wasn't angry.
Laura.
Don't taint me.
Amy threw her hands in the air and was like, come on. And then she yells to Mike
D. It's understandable. It's okay.
Right. This is a very competitive.
Solid choice. Yeah, I understand.
Okay. Well, Laura, we'll see if Amy picks that coming up. Laura, what would you like to say? Did we lose you?
She got scared of Amy.
Oh, no. I got scared of Amy.
Yeah. Yeah,
and then Amy started yelling at me for saying she was yelling.
You want to hear me angry?
You haven't heard angry yet.
Anything yet.
Yeah, you haven't. If you think Laura's that's angry, wow.
All right, here we go. Are we ready? The first overall pick in the wedding dance, first wedding dance song, first song in a wedding. Here we go. Amy.
Bless the Broken Road, Rascal.
Oh!
You didn't even take the Tim McGraw one after all that?
I didn't know what I was going to go with.
And she convinced you otherwise?
I still have it on my list.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a good song.
It's a great
Amy,
song.
I had it.
Thank you.
Just raised a big hubbub about nothing.
Because I didn't know what I was going to do yet. And then I realized, okay, I'm first. So I have control here. And if y'all want that one, you can take it.
I might, just to rub it in now. All right, Lunchbox with the second pick.
Oh, man, you go to a wedding and they start dancing to this song. You feel so good. It's so romantic. Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran.
Woo. So honey now.
Oh.
Yes, good.
That is home run.
Ed Sheeran had a bunch of them. Yeah, three or four. I was like, man, he's got so many. And then I got stuck on Ed Sheeran playlist for a while. I was really feeling it last night.
Feeling the love?
Yeah, I was feeling it last night. All right, Amy goes, Bless the Broken Road, Rascal Flatts, Lunchbox is Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud. Morgan, number two, the first pick for you.
I'm going to go with, I've chose this one before for a different draft, but it's such a good song.
I know where you're going.
Lone Star, Amaze.
I have that on my list, too. That's a good one. Yeah. I'm so in love with you. I see the first dance right now.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Raymundo, Birthday Boy. By the way, Birthday Boy.
What up, buddy? What's up, y'all? I cannot believe this is still available. This is amazing to me right now.
Oh, is that a home run?
And honestly, I'm sorry, Amy, because you're probably going to go with it. I'm doing I Cross My Heart, George Strait.
Oh, I have that dance! That's a good one. I had it, too!
I can see myself dancing right now to this bad boy.
Shoot.
Of your soon-to-be...
Yeah. I'm already thinking songs.
You haven't proposed yet, though.
I know.
We came back from vacation. The listeners were like, has Raymundo proposed yet?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay. All right. Boy, I have a couple of my first round ones off the list.
I know.
Good job by you guys picking those. I'm going to go with Thomas Rhett, Die a Happy Man.
Oh, it's on mine.
So, if I never get to see the northern lights, or if I never get to see the Eiffel Tower at night, with all I got is your hand in my hand, baby, I could die. So first round picks, Amy, Bless the Broken Road, Rascal Flatts, Lunchbox, Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran, Morgan number two, Amaze, Lone Star, Eddie, George Strait, Across My Heart.
Oh, Ray. No, that's Ray.
Oh, Ray. Sorry.
Thanks for rubbing that in.
Sorry, you're not in the game.
Right.
Thomas Rhett, Die a Happy Man for me. Okay, now I have the first pick of the second round. I think I'm going to go, I'm between two. I think I'm going to go with...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, because it's just what do I want to walk down? And I may... I'm going to go with Chris Stapleton, Tennessee Whiskey. Yeah. Yeah.
Huh. Well, I never thought of this.
I know. I know you guys didn't think about that one.
Interesting.
Is this what you're going to dance to?
It's a super love song.
I can see it.
Yeah. I feel like I'll get some good votes on this one.
Okay.
It wasn't on any of the lists you guys Googled. Uh-huh. I always check to see the list that you guys just Google when you go. Song.
Especially Lunchbox.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it on the list. No big deal.
Raymundo.
Honestly, I'm shaking right now. This one's still available. Y'all are crazy. It's Your Love, Tim and Faith. Y'all kidding me right now? It's
Your Love. Raymundo may not got two wins in a row, you guys. He's killing it. It sends a shock right through me. I can't get it. Morgan, number two.
I can't do a wedding song without putting in Garth Brooks.
Oh, wow.
To Make You Feel My Love.
Ooh. Interesting. You had a few options with the singer of this. I think I'd have went Garth, too, because Adele did a version, Garth did a version, and Bob Dylan did a version.
Bob Dylan.
This is a good one. To make you
feel my love. Oh, man, I feel this one.
That's a good one. Lunchbox?
Oh, man. When you get married, you want all of that person. All of You by John Legend.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
Woo! Shoot.
You mad over there? You gonna go Tim McGraw now after that whole thing?
Just listen, guys. This is a home run. Don't even act like this wasn't a great pick.
It is a great pick.
Awesome, I know, but dude. No one likes to comment and say great pick when I nail it.
Yeah. You nailed it.
You nailed it, man.
Nailed it. Amazing. Amy?
Okay.
Amy, you had a lot of fuss about that Tim McGraw song. You yelled at everyone.
Yeah, it's weird.
So I'm going to go with, a lot of mine are taken. So My Best Friend, Tim McGraw.
All right.
There you go.
You're
more than a lover. I probably wouldn't have went with it.
Be another.
That was good. It's a good one.
I
didn't think about it.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a great one. When she said it, I was like, that didn't even pop up my list.
I think it's one that makes you smile when you're watching the new couple dance.
Sometimes when I don't comment, it's because I'm being a hater. I'm just like, I'm not saying anything about it. I'm in the game here. Amy, you have the next pick, first or third round. Go ahead.
Now what do I go with? Okay. I'll throw back with Can't Help Falling in Love.
Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Elvis. That could have went first, too.
UB40? Oh, no, Elvis.
Oh, that'd have been a good one. Falling I'm almost out of my list, which is right, because you should, everybody should pick all the big ones. Lunchbox?
When I got married, I got to say it was the best dance I ever had in my life with my wife. And so for you, babe, I'm giving this one, You Are the Best Thing by Ray LaMontagne.
That's a good song.
Oh, because you are the best thing.
Also strong, just for the home points, to pick your own song from your wedding.
Yeah, I don't have it on my list.
Amy's didn't pick Pat Green Crazy.
Which is a great song.
Morgan, number two.
I'm going to stick with the country theme. I'm going with Keith Urban, Making Memories of Us.
And I'm going to love you like nobody loves
you. Guys, she's going to win.
See, I don't feel like hers is, but again, I never know. I'm wrong all the time because really only have only won two. Oh, what, they're all really good.
Are all really
everyone's
good, right?
Is really good.
Yeah, they're all really good.
Is she paying you?
No.
Yeah.
Amy always has a conspiracy theory with Morgan number two.
I'd also like to say I've stayed off Facebook. I'm just looking at my list.
Our feed is down. No one's. Okay, Raymundo, your last pick of the draft.
If you're at any wedding this summer, this fall, this is the song you're gonna hear. Here it is, Speechless.
Jam.
All right, Ray might win.
Yeah, I feel like Ray's a super strong against
me.
Yeah, I do. And by the way, Raymundo, you have access to all of our clips, so you can see what we're all going to pick, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, none of y'all had Speechless.
We didn't.
Yeah. No, but I'm just throwing that out there.
That sure, it's an advantage, but I have been losing.
Okay, so here are the two that I'm between. I have the last pick of the draft. And I'm so surprised that Morgan didn't pick Shania Twain, You're Still the One.
Oh, wow.
I'm so surprised at that. I just thought that would be gone because it is a jam. And then Etta James At Last.
At Last. It's a good one.
I'm going to go just as a salute to Morgan number two with Shania Twain, You're Still the One.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there you go.
No, that's not a salute, Morgan number two.
First dance song, Shania Twain, Still the One. Okay, so here we go. Amy's three songs are Bless the Broken Road, Rascal Flatts, My Best Friend, Tim McGraw, and Elvis, Can't Help Falling in Love. How do you grade yours?
A-.
A-, ooh. Lunchbox, Thinking Out Loud, Ed Sheeran, All of Me, John Legend, Ray LaMontagne, You're the Best Thing. How do you grade yours?
Oh, A++.
Morgan number two, Amaze, Lone Star, To Make You Feel My Love, Garth Brooks, Making Memories of Us, Keith Urban. How do you grade yours?
I feel very strong. A+.
Raymundo, I Cross My Heart, George Strait, It's Your Love, Tim and Faith. This is so strong.
Two in a row,
it's
baby.
It's so strong.
Yeah! It's like 100 with extra credit.
It's so strong.
A++.
And oh, extra credit.
Speechless Dan and Shay.
Yeah!
Nailed it.
So strong.
So what does he grade it?
I said two in a row, A+. What do you want?
God.
Like, since when is he the host of the show?
I'm just wondering.
And then mine is Thomas Rhett, Die a Happy Man, Tennessee Whiskey, Chris Stapleton, and You're Still the One, Shania Twain. Raymundo, Lunchbox, Amy, Morgan, number two, myself. Nice work, everybody. All our strong lists. Now we'll let the people vote. Someone's hitting us up online going, how'd you not pick Beautiful Crazy by Luke Combs? That would have been a great pick.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
Me neither.
That'd have been a great pick.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Let's go over to our producer, Raymundo. Raymundo, what you got over there?
Hurricane Dorian is still going up the East Coast, bringing tons of rain, wind, and flooding. Georgia, Florida, Carolinas, and Virginia. Right now, it's south of Charleston. In the Bahamas, the death toll is over 20. It's expected to rise. To help out, just go to redcross.org. And finally, more than 500,000 Fords and Lincolns have been recalled because of the seats in the newer models. If you go to recline them, they're missing a part, and they may tip too far back. They'll contact you if you've been affected.
Bobby Bones. Yeah.
You want to do the 60-second showdown again with a listener?
Yeah.
This is a game that our affiliate in Chicago does where they call it the big $1,000 minute. If you get 10 questions in 60 seconds, you win $1,000. Hey, let me put Christina on in Lewisburg. Christina.
Hey.
You want to play this game?
I don't know if I'd be any good at this game.
Perfect, because I don't want to have to pay the money. I'm going to be honest with you. Okay, let's just take a shot at it. You can have your choice of categories. Would you like U.S. states, classic country, or outer space?
Oh, my gosh. Classic country.
Okay, so you'll have 60 seconds. And if you can get all 10 of these, we'll give you the cash. Should I offer her $1,000? I don't have $1,000.
Yeah, yeah.
But if she's not going to get it, can we just say it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, it's a little risky right now. Because she could be playing possum. Okay, I'll tell you what.
No,
we'll do it.
I'm serious.
We'll do it for $100. Out of my own pocket.
$100.
$100. Are you ready? If you can get 10 questions in 60 seconds, are you ready?
Yeah.
The timer starts after the first question. Here we go. The category is classic country. Which artist's country nickname was the Possum?
George Jones?
Correct. Who wrote the song Crazy for Patsy Cline?
Oh my, I have no idea.
Pass. Pass. Say pass.
Pass.
Lovesick Blues.
Sorry, pass.
Lovesick Blues is by what artist?
No idea, pass.
At San Quentin was a live album by what country artist?
Johnny Cash.
Correct. Coal Miner's Daughter was the nickname of what female artist?
Oh my gosh, I know this.
Pass. Waylon Jennings sang the theme song for what TV show?
Pass.
One, yeah, it's worth $1,000 for sure.
Yeah.
We're now at $1,000.
5 seconds, too.
One of her biggest hits was Stand By Your Man. Who was it?
Idiot.
Time. There we go. Time. I'm sorry. That was worth $10,000, actually.
Man.
Now that I think about it, yeah.
Oh, man.
George Jones was the Possum. Willie Nelson was Patsy Cline, wrote Crazy. Lovesick Blues, Hank Williams. At San Quentin was Johnny Cash. Coal Miner's Daughter was Loretta Lynn. Waylon Jennings sang the theme song for the Dukes of Hazzard. And Tammy Wynette was Stand By Your Man. You know what, Christina?
See, I'm an idiot.
No, you're pretty good with us. You're pretty good with us. We got to admit. Well, thank you for playing. Thanks for giving it a run. And thanks for listening to the show.
Thanks. I love y'all.
All right. See you later. She had a chance at $100,000 there, and she did not get it.
Man,
that was her
rough.
One shot at $100,000. Wow. It keeps going up.
A million.
That was the million-dollar question. Yeah. The Bobby Bones Show. Our video producer, Eddie, sits over there, and he runs the cameras all during the show. You can watch us. Facebook.com/Bobby Bone Show as it's happening. Which, by the way, did you leave an apple behind the printer?
Did I?
Yeah, disgusting.
Is that where I left it? I did have an apple. I took a few bites from it and I left it somewhere and I didn't find it and I forgot all about it. It was behind the printer.
Flies everywhere.
Oh, dang. This is the second time I've done this.
Hey, Hillary. Hillary works in the glass room. We call her Utility Hillary. What happened with the apple here in the studio?
I walked in the hallway and there's an apple core just sitting by the printer and it was disgusting.
You know this is a place of business, right, Eddie?
Yeah, I do. And I just kind of snack whenever I can, you know, because I'm just running in and out of the studio. And there is like a fruit fly problem. But what I learned the other day from you is that there are already fruit flies. So people try to blame this on me, but they already exist.
There are two theories with fruit flies.
Yeah.
One, that there are little fruit flies all over anyway.
Right.
Flying by themselves.
With or without, if I leave an apple behind the printer or not.
But the other theory is the eggs are all over the apple.
Oh.
And so whenever you eat it and they hatch, they're all right there.
Yeah. I just need to remember where I leave my apple. That's it.
Hillary, how's everyone doing? Like, Lunchbox is having issues with, like, passing gas.
That's gotten better.
It has?
Yeah. Everybody's doing pretty good except for the apple.
What do you credit the gas passing change to?
I was told I couldn't pass gas in the studio, so I don't pass gas in the studio. I go out in the hallway. Or if I do, I just try to, if I aim it towards Mike D, because he's the only one that will smell it, and hopefully he doesn't get a whiff.
Any other issues?
I don't think I have any more. As long as people are picking up their trash, because I always end up being the one who has to do it. So as long as everybody can keep their spaces clean up their trash, we have a fruit fly problem. Just keep it clean, please.
Does anyone ever put food in the refrigerator here?
I put drinks, but never food.
Anyone ever steal it?
Nope. Just the one time they stole my bottle of tequila, and I still know who did it, and they still have not apologized.
Do they still work here?
Yep.
How do you know who did it? I can't.
Oh,
remember.
I know.
Are you sure, or do you know?
Like, oh, I know. I know.
Do they work on the show?
No.
They work for a different show?
They work in the building.
Go ahead. What's it rhyme with? What station do they work for?
No. I think all the stations.
Why'd you have tequila up here in the building?
We used to pre-drink before we'd go to the bars. I mean, this has been years.
Oh, used to come up here and drink at work and then go out.
Yeah, because we'd take a couple shots and then go to the bars and be feeling good before we got there. Yeah. And I had a brand new bottle of Patron. It was chilled, everything unopened. I was ready for a Friday night show up, gone. And I know you did it. You can apologize and we can, you know, we can let bygones be bygones, but I'm still holding that grudge.
This was seriously...
Well, no, I think the bigger one was Raymundo's Toaster Strudels got stolen.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that big great debate?
Yeah, and but a bunch of listeners sent them up here, so I ended up getting 10 free boxes. So.
You know who stole your Toaster Strudels?
Yeah, the guy upstairs. I went and offered him. I gave him $100 to get him to admit to it. He didn't officially admit to it, but he did in a roundabout...
$100.
Did he take your money?
Yeah, he took the money because you gave all of us money and said, do whatever you want with it. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go to that guy and get him to say that he did it, and he...
That was Ray's good deed.
It's weird.
To get someone to admit they stole his toaster strudel.
And he took the money, which means he ate the toaster strudel.
Wait, so he won. Like, he got toaster strudel
and he got $100.
But if someone offered you $100, Bones, and said, admit that you ate
I robbed the bank. Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Thank you.
I'll take the $100, please. Yes.
Exactly.
But the point is, don't leave food out.
The apple,
here.
Got you.
And Lunchbox, nice job on not passing gas in the studio.
I'm doing what I can, trying to keep this place clean.
There you go. And good job with your desk and how organized it is over there, Amy.
Thank you.
We're all making big changes.
And you don't even have a drawer. You wanted a drawer, and look, you don't even need a drawer.
You need a drawer. You're good over there.
No, I still need a drawer, but it's okay.
Bobby Bones, the latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Carrie Underwood is publishing her first book. It's a fitness lifestyle book called Find Your Path. Honor your body, fuel your soul, and get strong with the Fit 52 Life. It will be out in 2020. Randy Travis is going out on tour this fall. It's called the Music of Randy Travis Tour, but he won't be singing. Former voice contestant James Dupree is filling in on the vocals, but Randy Travis will make an appearance at all 12 stops. CMA announced their CMA Country Christmas lineup that includes Rascal Flatts, Lady Antebellum, Chris Jansen, Brett Young, and more. Trisha Yearwood is hosting, and tickets for the special taping go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Central Time. I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something good.
There's a retirement center in D.C. for veterans called the Armed Forces Retirement Home. And last year, they had a disaster. Their bingo machine broke.
Oh, no.
Their whole bingo machine is like a small billboard with big numbers on it so they can see it. A lot of them are, you know, visually impaired. And so they're not able to play bingo anymore. So this 16-year-old named Sarah Nordlinger found out about it and was like, well, we can't let them not play bingo if that's what they love. So she and some other kids that call themselves the Children of the American Revolution set up a GoFundMe page to raise enough money for it, and they did. They hit $6,000 for a new machine, plus $2,000 it was extra to help the retirement home's community garden.
Aww.
So it was just her seeing it and going, hey, I should get into action and help them out. By the way, if you want to help, you can search Serving Those Who've Served on GoFundMe, and it's that page there to help out that center for retired folks who serve in the military.
Love it.
Pretty cool, huh? That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Bone Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from Mexico. A 23-year-old woman who loves yoga is out on the balcony, 80 feet up in the air. She starts doing some yoga moves on her balcony on the ledge, and she goes over, falls 80 feet. She lives, but she broke several bones in her body.
Why was she doing yoga on a ledge? For Instagram?
Yeah. She was using, you know, the railing of the balcony. And
like,
said,
put me on my Insta story. Do this.
Woo! And she fell 80 feet.
I'm going to do the seahorse. Be sure to get this. And then she's lucky she didn't die, huh?
Yeah, but she went in and had 11 hours of surgery.
Oh, my goodness. Does the same surgeon work on you for 11 hours if you do an 11-hour surgery?
Don't know.
Or is it like anything over it's overtime after 8 hours? The surgeon's like, all right, time and a half, boys.
Yeah.
They do it slow so they can get their overtime. When I worked at the golf course, that's what I would do. After about 6 hours, they'd be like, oh, we can get some overtime out of this, boys. So you just kind of extended that a little bit. And then vacation, double time and a half, or holidays?
Whoa.
I would kill that. That's awesome. All right, there's your bonehead story of the day, right, Lunchbox?
I'm Lunchbox. That's your bonehead story of the day.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Let's go over to Meredith in Austin. Hey, Meredith, you're on the Bobby Bones Show. What do you want to say?
Hey, this is Bobby.
Yeah.
So this is Meredith in Austin. My best friend's fiance just deployed yesterday out of Fort Hood. And I know Amy's got, you know, experience with that. So I just wanted to see if she had any advice.
Advice for who? For you or for
your... For her.
For your friend.
For her.
So her fiance, Amy, and you should tell your story first.
Okay, so right after my husband and I got married, well, while we were dating, he was gone a lot. But then right after we got married, he left for Afghanistan. And I feel like I was able to stay busy. That's important. And activities, hobbies, work, like throw yourself into it because it is hard worrying about them over there. I don't know what the communication level is like because you don't know how often they're going to be talking. So that's the nerve-wracking part. And then you as a friend, just be there for her and make sure that if she needs alone time and wants to be alone with it, fine. But if she needs to be, have it taken off her mind and take her out for like a movie or dinner or girls' night, like make sure that you're involved too. But I would say just staying busy. And I will say for him, again, every circumstance is different, but my husband appreciated that I didn't nag him while he was gone or anything or get frustrated if he couldn't call or cause extra stress with things that were going back home by telling him everything because they're already in a high stress level situation. So if she can keep those conversations as light and positive and happy and save it for when he gets home, if there's something that needs to be discussed, just save it. Because my husband said the other guys would get an earful from their significant other while they were over there, guy or girl, whoever it was, and it added stress to their day and they were already stressed. So I would say ease off the stress.
Cool. Well, I will let her know. They just got engaged a couple months ago in May, and then they were like, oh, well, you're going to Iraq for 6 months.
Dang.
And it was just so sad, and they bought a house in North Austin, and they were just ready for the next chapter, you know? And then they were like, see ya. You're going to Iraq. So he just left yesterday. I know she's a mess.
It's
so
hard. It's hard. Yeah. 6 months, but Iraq.
Amy's been there.
I know. Yeah. Well, so, but I will share with her, and I love y'all, and I will definitely let her know I called in, and you gave her some advice and made my day, too, to be able to talk to y'all.
Well, thanks, Meredith. Appreciate the call.
Awesome. Okay, thank you.
All right,
y'all.
See you later.
The Bobby Bones Show.
You're never going to get a question goes like this. You could spend hundreds of dollars on one of these or just a couple of bucks, but the average one will cost you $15.23. What is it? Never going to get it? You think you have it?
I do.
What do you got?
Headphones.
No.
What? But that's true.
Incorrect. No, you don't know the average headphone's $15.23.
Ish.
No.
But you could also get Dre Beats, which are hundreds of dollars.
The average of this will cost you $15.23.
Hey, that was my guess.
But you were positive, and then you argued.
Okay, well, what is it?
Lunchbox, you have a guess.
Yeah, it's a meal at a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
You could spend hundreds of dollars on one of these or just a couple of bucks. The average will cost you $15.23. It is not the meal at a restaurant. Eddie?
I want phone charger. You can get some really good phone chargers for hundreds of dollars.
Never seen one of those full gold-plated
phone chargers.
Hundreds of dollars?
Yeah. Once I said it, I kind of realized it was a stupid answer. Yeah.
That's how I feel doing most of this show. You know, once I said it, probably wasn't the best thing to say. The answer is a bottle of wine.
So true. You can get wine for like $2 or hundreds, thousands.
The question, if you're at a fancy dinner and someone brings you a wine, can you taste the expensiveness of the wine?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I cannot. I've done a taste test before. I cannot.
If you're at a nice dinner and they're like, this is a $10,000 bottle of wine, would you just drink it and be like, I cannot believe this is amazing, even if it were a dollar?
No. I don't think, if I like it, I like it. I don't care if it's a dollar or $10,000. I don't think I would be able, I don't have a sophisticated enough palate to recognize the value of a fine wine.
I just wonder if those taste so good that you would know based on just, because like quality of meat, anything around the same, you're not going to be able to difference. But really, really good meat, you're like, oh, wow, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
But it's just really good.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder. I mean,
I don't know. I don't like all it. To me, it's there's so many different kinds of wines. Also, too, it could be $10,000, but it might not be my like, I like Pinot Noir. It might be Cabernet. Not my thing.
What is your favorite wine?
Pinot Noir.
Is it, they say it noir?
I just try to say it real fast.
I don't know.
Yes, it is. But sometimes when I'm ordering it at a restaurant, I feel awkward because I'm saying it wrong. And I just say Pinot Noir.
You still said it.
Okay. Yeah.
Bobby Bones Show. Let's see what's happening with everybody here as we do a little segment we call, Hey, What's the Haps?
Hey, What's the Haps?
Amy, what's the haps?
Oh, man, I'm super excited because I get to fly to L.A. today and do an iHeart show, which, I mean, you know about, but I get a little bit nervous, so sometimes I look to you for encouragement.
Well, tonight, Amy will be hosting a theater event with Trisha Yearwood.
Yes.
Which she requested you by name.
Which is crazy.
She was like, can I get Amy? And I was like, I'd love for you to have Amy.
Wow.
So look at you.
I know. It's exciting.
Little superstar over there. So yeah, be listening tonight.
Yeah. You can.
Do you know the time?
You can listen. It'll be at 7 Pacific. So 9 Central.
Okay. We're going to. Raymundo, can you grab the time for me so we can.
Yeah.
Once we get off time zones, it's all
I know, I know. So, but yeah, you can watch it LiveX Live and then listen on iHeartRadio.
Once we get the time.
Once we get the time.
We'll let everybody know.
Okay.
All right, what's the haps? Hey!
What's the haps?
I'm 3 hours into that new country music documentary from Ken Burns.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's 18 hours long. And so I did the first episode, which was The Roots to 1933, which is a little slow. I would compare it to the first part of a really dramatic movie. It's just slow. And it's also about how country music was started because immigrants came to the U.S. It's a very immigrant-based format, we are. Where Europeans brought the fiddle, slaves brought the banjo from Africa, and I just finished the first country superstar ever was Jimmie Rodgers, and how it went to Mark Wills in the play. I mean, it's just now getting really good, and I'm second half episode 2. Like the Carter family, you're learning about them, 2 sisters, and one of them was married to a dude. And so they were like the first family. It was all a thing. So it's just now getting good, but it's 18 hours long.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
It doesn't come out on PBS until like 10 days or so. But I'm trying to get ahead of it and let you guys know if it's they didn't pay me.
Yeah.
But I
let us know if it's worth it.
And I'm country music's youngest historian.
Right.
Correct.
So I'm seeing what I don't know, which is a lot, especially about that time period.
That's awesome.
So that's what I'm doing right now. That's what I did last night. I spent another hour and a half watching that. So,
Hey! What's the
hat? Lunchbox?
Oh, man, tonight, the NFL is back. I mean, we've been waiting for this for months and months, and it is the greatest time of year when the NFL season kicks off. There's going to be a lot of angry people because a lot of people aren't going to get anything done. They're going to be sitting in front of their TV watching football, football, football.
There you go, tonight. Eddie, you betting money tonight?
I am. Yeah. Of course I am.
I heard that
on the Bears.
I heard that you've been in trouble with your wife and you have to do chores at your house for betting money.
I can earn betting money by doing chores, yes.
Like his wife will ask me to go to the grocery store and he'll be like, only if I can get $5 for my betting account.
And she gave it to me, so I was
it's
at
like an allowance.
10 p.m. I was on my way to the grocery store.
If you're doing it and she knows about it,
that's yeah. a healthy marriage
you're
in my book.
Earning your allowance.
Thank you, man. You agree with me. Thank you.
I'm okay with you doing it to where she can see it.
Yes.
All right. There you go. Yeah.
Hey! What's the hat?
Eddie, finish us out here.
Well, I mean, it's official now. Yesterday, Bobby officially gave me his Olive Garden pasta pass. Mm-hmm. So it's in my hands. I showed it to my family last night. They're excited. We didn't go last night, and we're gone for the next few days out of town. But we'll be back Sunday, and we're going to use it Sunday night.
What's the plan if they go, your name's not Bobby Bones?
I FaceTime you.
Then you need to give me a heads up when you go to Olive Garden.
Okay, so I just texted, say, hey, I'm on my way. Be by your phone because I want to.
He's going to answer with his shirt off.
I don't wear clothes in my house.
Right.
That's true.
It's not that I would take my shirt off, but if I'm, why would I be in these tight.
I know. But you're my right. husband's always clothes. Like, why are you always FaceTiming with Bobby and he has no shirt on? I'm like, I don't know.
Well, because Bobby doesn't wear a shirt.
Right.
And as soon as I get home, pants are off. Off go the pants.
And it's not like you're going to care if I FaceTime you and you're shirtless. You're cool with
care.
That.
But they may go, well, that's still not you, sir, talking to you. You may just have to say you're me.
There's no chance, dude. I'm telling you, there's a really good chance they're going to know I'm not you.
You're acting like people know who I am. Really, they don't.
Okay.
You just be like, that's me. That's my radio name.
Yeah, man. Bobby Bones. Look at me.
There you go.
You do all not right. look like a Bobby Bones.
Right, exactly my point.
Roberto Huesos?
Do that. Huh? But my legal name is Roberto Huesos.
Hey!
What's the hat?
By the way, tonight's iHeart Country album release party with Trisha Yearwood. Central time, it's 8 to 8 CM. You got everybody off. Central time, 8 to 8:30 p.m.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Eastern time at 9, right? So Pacific 10, Eastern 9, Central 8, Mountain.
Woo! I'm glad you told me, because...
Well, Pacific can't be 10 if it's...
Yeah, that's...
Hope I'm not late.
Yeah, Mike, this is even written wrong.
See, nobody knows.
Mike's like the fact checker, and he fact checked wrong.
Oh, I promise you, my time said I needed to be there. I was going to start at...
Okay, well, anyway, tonight, we'll just say at 8 Central.
Just block off your whole evening. Who cares about
that's
NFL?
That's not right either. Oh, my goodness. Guys, come on.
Listen, I'm telling you, I'm recording with Trisha at 7 p.m. Pacific, so that's what I
all
know.
All right, 10 p.m. Central. LiveXLive.com. You think that this? No, that's not right either, Morgan number two. Morgan number two, what do you see over there?
It's 10, 9 Central.
10, 9 Central.
Mm-hmm. So that means 10 Eastern.
7. 10 Eastern. Whoa. The Bobby
Bones Show. Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So this 26-year-old guy, Richard McEwen, he scaled the wall of Taylor Swift's Rhode Island house and was able to make it inside.
Which is really weird.
And there's a security guard there, but he told police that he was unable to hear the alarm because of the high winds, because he was, I guess, guarding by a seawall, and then between the wall and the winds, he didn't hear. But the dude set off a motion detector alarm, but before police could get there, he was able to get inside. He took off his shoes, and then he went around looking for Taylor, but she wasn't there. He's charged with breaking and entering and posted a $5,000 bond.
Did it say she only had one security guard at that house?
It says there was one guard on duty, but she wasn't there. So
I know,
maybe
I know.
If she's there, there'd be more guards.
First of all, yes, I know that's true.
Oh.
Secondly, I would expect that there would be more than just one there.
But I was thinking, so at all of her residences, mm-hmm. does she have guards that all of them just, if she's not there?
Yes.
They're all there.
Yes.
Wow.
That's not crazy.
That's expensive.
Yeah. Hey, look up Taylor Swift's net worth. But if you have that kind of money and you're that famous, you have to have people there.
Yeah.
So I would assume she has someone everywhere.
She might want to get a new person here, though.
At this place. I'll say this about him. He took off his shoes.
He did. So
that's
kind.
Nice of him.
Yeah. She's worth $360 million. So
you can afford that?
I think, yeah, she's out. She's
and,
all right.
And climbing. It's like she's worth that, but still, like, just making money.
All right, what else you got?
Okay, so Kevin Hart, he was supposed to be the first guest on the first episode of the Kelly Clarkson Show, which, first of all, shout out. I think it's super cool that Kelly Clarkson is getting her own show. But he got in that crazy car accident, and it's going to take him tons of physical therapy to even get back to normal. But The Rock was on his honeymoon, and he left the honeymoon to take Kevin Hart's place and tape the episode, which is going to air on Monday. So if you watch Kelly Clarkson Show, you see The Rock there, be like, shout out, you left your honeymoon.
Because they're super close, The Rock and Kevin Hart. That's like yeah. That's like his dude.
Right.
Yeah.
It would be like, I guess if I got in a car accident and to be somewhere.
Well, I'm here, everyone.
Yeah.
I know you're looking for Amy, but I'm here.
It'd probably be the other way around. You were supposed to be somewhere, you got in a car accident, I'd come fill in.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah. What else?
But yeah, nutty. So experts are warning that too much tuna can be really bad for you. And I know that we've heard that before, but it's just one of those reminders because I've started to try to eat a lot more protein, and tuna is definitely a way to get tons of protein real quick. And if you're eating tuna more than 5 times a week, it's going to work against your body. Like, bad things are going to start happening.
Is it like the...
It's the heavy metals. It's toxic.
What's nice. The metal that's in...
Mercury, right?
Is it mercury?
I believe yep. so.
Going to buy me some mercury and eat some tuna down the road.
Right.
Different mercury.
Oh, different mercury?
Try to limit your mercury intake to like a couple times a week. But the other day, I ate it probably twice a day for 2 days in a row.
Well, I can tell you, during my broker years in college, I would eat a lot of tuna. And that is because it was inexpensive and it was pretty healthy.
Yep.
So I would try to eat tuna because it was what I could afford to eat and still have somewhat normal diet.
Right.
And so college kids are getting sicker than anyone.
It says here, it even references that. It talks about the study, people on strict tuna diets, also students on a budget yeah. that are eating it too much to save money.
Good thing they do the ramen noodles. I'd be dead. If they're like, sorry, boys and girls, ramen noodles and white bread and bologna, you're going to die.
I'm sure there's right. something.
Here's my will.
In there, ramen noodles that might be...
I'm not, I don't know. Classic. I haven't sued me. I ain't saying anything. I think they're great.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing. Yeah. I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
I went and got a haircut yesterday. Had a 3:30 appointment. And so I go, and I'm in this weird place where I got to get a haircut in my mind. That's pretty cool, but I can't be too cool because I'm not 22 anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to walk that fine line of like, all right, made me look cool because I got to do TV stuff, but don't make me look too cool because... Then I look like I'm trying to be 25. How's the look? Be honest.
I feel like it looks great.
Yeah, thanks. I thought you did a good job.
I guess you nailed it, because whatever your look you're going for looks good.
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I didn't even notice.
I didn't notice either.
And remember when Amy was like, you didn't notice my hair?
Yeah.
See, us guys have feelings too when that happens.
I know, sorry.
I really don't care. I would rather people not notice my haircut. That means I'm staying pretty consistent the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't I have to get my eyebrows cut? Which is weird.
Yeah, I've noticed that before.
Well, on me? I'm talking about in general.
Yeah, no, on you.
Oh.
One time one was like really long, but that happens. I'm actually jealous of it.
I wish my eyebrows would grow. Like, but men start to just...
Yeah, mine grow. And so she has to take a comb and go under the eyebrow and then, like, trim the eyebrow. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah. Like, that's cool of her to do that, though.
I don't have, like, a lot of, like, body hair issues yet.
Yeah, you don't.
Like, no real ear hair. Some back of my earlobe. But that's it. And mm-hmm. the eyebrow. Like, I have to... Every time I go in, I have to get my eyebrow cut now, too. I have to book a separate appointment for just my eyebrows. Yeah, I need to get a haircut at 3:30 and then an eyebrow cut at 4:15.
Yeah.
There was a thing at my hair... Because I go to a salon. Don't be fooled. I go to a salon, not a barber shop. And so I go and... I guess someone had poured some Drano down one of the tubes when you get your, where you get your hair washed. You know, you put your head back in that thing and there's that little... drainage yeah. tube, and the Drano was so strong that it ate the tube up. Think about what that would do to a human body.
Oh, wow.
Like, if you had any, yeah, it absolutely tore it, and they had to have people up fix it. So that was my day yesterday. I did that. Wow. And we did a podcast, and Luke Combs was going to come by last night, and he called me last minute, was like, dude, I had some stuff come up. And I was like, don't worry about it. We'll get on in the next couple weeks. And so I called S.J. Tui, who is the real-life kid from the movie The Blind Side. We were going to have him on anyway, but I was like, oh, this is a perfect time. And so the movie, The Blind Side, the book, The Blind Side, is about a real life family. And he's the younger brother. And so this is him talking about how Sandra Bullock came to shadow his mom before the movie. Here.
Sandra Bullock was around for a while. She came for a week or so, and her and my mom did different things, and she kind of shadowed her.
Did you meet Sandra Bullock when she was with your mom?
Yeah, she came to my high. She came to Briarcrest one day. Went to high school. That was the one time I met her, and then I met her one time on set. We actually played a game in Atlanta for high school basketball, and they were filming in Atlanta.
So he talks about his whole little spiel there, and you know how they did the movie, and he was in sixth grade or something when it all came out, and the whole story about how it happened, which is nuts. It just all happened by accident. The story of Michael Orr even getting out happened by accident. It wasn't like they were out promoting
trying
it.
To, yeah. Oh,
and his dad was like the radio and TV guy for the Memphis Grizzlies. The
Tim McGraw?
Play-by-play. Yeah, the guy played by Tim McGraw.
Yeah.
Did it talk about that in the movie that he was
no,
the...
Yeah. He not
was
at all.
He was the play-by-play guy for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, I guess wow. He didn't talk about that. Didn't talk about Taco Bell.
Yeah, they had some Taco Bells too.
Yeah.
So anyway, check it out. Search BobbyCast if you listen to podcasts. Would love for you to check out that episode with S.J. Tui, the real-life kid from... He's not a kid anymore,
mm-mm.
but from The Blind Side.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So there's this eighth grader, 13 years old. His name is Chase, and he's helping out his classmates that may need clothes or shoes, hygiene products, and more for school. So he created a closet that is kept at his school where donations are just going to this closet, and people can go there and take whatever supplies or clothes that they need. And it can be done in a discreet manner, yep. too. It's not like, oh, hey, step right up to the charity closet or anything. But he just saw a need at his school, and he created the closet to help his classmates.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Kid.
I know.
The kid. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Bobby Boneshell.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Carrie Underwood is publishing her first book. It's a fitness lifestyle book called Find Your Path, Honor Your Body, Fuel Your Soul, and Get Strong with the Fit 52 Life, and it's going to be out in 2020.
Is that the first chapter or is that the name of it?
It's the name of it.
Name.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
What's it called again?
Find Your Path, Honor Your Body, Fuel Your Soul, and Get Strong with the Fit 52 Life.
How do you recommend that to a friend? Guys, I got a book I want you to read. It's a lot. I mean, I wonder if that's part of that's a subtitle, too.
Yes.
Okay, what's the real title? Because, like, for example, my last book was called Fail Until You Don't, and the subtitle was Fight, Grind, Repeat. So, okay, what's the title?
Find Your Path.
Great.
There you go.
Love
okay.
it.
Okay.
Okay. I was confused. I like that. I would say, hey, you should read Carrie's new book, Find Your Path, which, by the way, I got just a minor beef with Carrie. Did you hear her making fun of me?
No. What did she say?
It's pretty funny. We'll get into it coming up later. We'll get into it. All right, Morgan number two, what else?
Randy Travis is going out on tour this fall, and it's called the Music of Randy Travis Tour, but he's not going to be singing. Former voice contestant James Dupree is filling in on the vocals, but Randy Travis is coming along and making an appearance at all of them.
Boy, oh, wow. What a get for this guy.
Yeah. Whoever
this
he
James
is.
James Dupree?
Yeah.
Does he sound a lot like Randy?
Don't know. What a get, though. I would have this guy to do a Randy Travis song. I don't even know who he is.
Ooh, good call.
See if we can book James Dupree. What's his name?
James Dupree.
Does he live in town?
I have no idea.
If he sings Randy Travis songs, I would do that. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What else you got?
And then CMA announced their CMA Country Christmas lineup. It includes Rascal Flatts, Lady Antebellum, Chris Jansen, Brett Young, and more. And then Trisha Yearwood is hosting.
There you have it. All right, good to go.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skin.
Now it's time for the investigative corny.
Oh, yeah.
Where we have to figure out the answer to Amy's corny joke. We have 90 seconds on the clock. And here we go with Amy's morning corny. Hit it, Raymond.
The morning corny.
What do you call a bear that's stuck out in the rain?
A bear that's stuck out in the rain. Hit the clock now. How about a wet, a bear?
Wet teddy?
Swapping bear.
Wet grizzly?
What kind of bears are there?
Grizzly, black, polar.
Polar. How about?
Angry.
Brown bears, teddy bears. Mm. What's... What could bear? It be like drizzly bear?
Eddie, that's got to be it. Eddie, that's got to be it.
Right? Is that it?
Great answer. We're committing to drizzly bear.
What do you think, Lunch?
Hey, if that's not it, Eddie, that's better than what the answer is.
It's pretty good, drizzly
that's
bear.
That's great.
What's the joke again, Amy?
What do you call a bear that's stuck out in the rain?
That's got to be it.
Drizzly bear.
Okay, hit it, Raymundo.
The morning corny.
What do you call a bear that's stuck out in the rain?
Cue up that music, Raymundo. Eddie hit a walk-off homer with this one. We're going to go with a drizzly bear. What do you call it?
A drizzly
bear. Hey! Yeah!
Woo!
Wow.
Nice.
Usually it's a team sport. That's all you do.
Come on, man. Wow. We all did it.
Wow. Take it home, Eddie.
Come on, baby! Clear eyes, full hearts,
can't lose!
That was a good question joke, too. That's by you.
Thanks.
It's tough, it's still fun. That's good.
That's a funny one, Amy.
Thank you.
A drizzly bear, yeah, that is good. Yes, Bobby Bones! I got a note yesterday that said, hey, Carrie Underwood poking a little fun at you, Bobby. I was like, well, I love Carrie. Maybe we have a beef here. Maybe a new feud. I'll play it for you coming up in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll read to you the note that was given to me. When Carrie was in recording the Country Top 30, she said she wanted to say Bobby Bones like Bobby does. I don't know that I say my name funny.
Oh. Say it.
How do you? No, because if I do it now, I'll know that I say it effectively.
This is Bobby Bones, and you're listening to the Country Top 30.
So I have audio of her kind of making fun of me a little bit. And she was like, yeah, you can play it, but this is what she said. We just want to stress how much I love you, and I don't want to offend you in any way. I just want to play it because I love the show. And so, yeah, so I have that. Raymundo, do we have it? Okay, here we go. Here's Carrie Underwood recording me.
I'm Carrie Underwood, filling in for Bobby Bones this weekend. I feel like I should read his name like he says it. Bobby Bones. It's got like a little pause.
He's never been called out about
Bobby that. Bones.
Next time you're on, please.
Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm Carrie Underwood filling in for Bobby Bones this week on The Countdown, and we're up to number 17.
I don't know that. First of all, what's wrong with how she said it? There's nothing wrong with that.
No, it's a good catch by her.
No, I don't feel like I say it that way. Maybe I do. But you hear the gator in the background like going, yeah, you show him.
He goes, he's never been called out on that.
Well, called out on what? Talking like a normal human?
I don't know.
Do I talk like that?
I don't know. I'm sure I'll notice it now. But I'm trying to even picture you on American Idol saying, this is Bobby Bones.
I really don't say my name on American Idol that much. They put their little name underneath me. Mm-hmm. Just here, I would say, hey, it's the Bobby Bones show.
Now you're going to be thinking about it.
No,
but
I'm not, because
exactly
it's not bad,
how you
though.
Say it.
But it's not bad.
It's not, but it's a good catch by her.
But it, what's
catch
the catch?
What? What's
that,
the catch?
That you say Bobby Bones.
Yeah, you do drag out the Bobby part.
You do?
I think they're just joining on Carrie's team.
Yeah.
I mean, who's
even
team?
If I did, it didn't. It,
nah, it's no big deal.
It's not bad.
The Bobby Bones show. I don't know. I'm looking for it.
Okay. Well, it's the Bobby Bones show, and we'll come back.
Bobby Bones. Okay.
Let me go to Aaron in Kansas, who's on the phone here. Aaron, how are you this morning?
I am great. How are you, Bobby?
I'm pretty
morning,
good.
Morning, studio.
Morning. It's just me, Bobby.
Bobby.
Hanging out all morning. What do you want to say, Aaron?
First, I am super jazzed to see you tomorrow in Hutchinson at the State Fair.
Yeah, the Raging Idiots State Fair tomorrow night. Yeah, what else?
Yeah, I have VIP tickets, so I'll get to get your sweat.
Oh, our sweat.
And also
get sweat on.
She's gonna be up close,
I guess.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I don't really sweat. I'm wearing shorts.
And also, I have to say thank you for the morning corny. I'm a first grade teacher, and I tell my kids the morning corny every morning, and it's the highlight of their day. And if I forget, they make sure I know. They know that I know that I forgot, and ask for it every morning.
Well, thank you. Thanks for sharing it with them. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you tomorrow night in Hutchinson for the Kansas State Fair, and that'll be awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm excited.
Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
See you later. Just your buddy Bobby here. Just hanging out.
Bobby.
Just your buddy Bobby. Billboard put out the top five songs of the summer. Do you know these songs? Tell me.
I don't.
Number five. Oh. Here you go. Can you name this one?
Yes. Lizzo.
Whatever it's called.
Oh, whatever it's called. Love that one. Yeah. Lizzo, Truth Hurts.
There you go.
You know, it went number one on the Billboard chart this week. It came out in 2017. We talked about that on the podcast yesterday.
Wow.
2 years ago, this song came out. Took that long to get number one. That's the number five song of the summer. Number four, Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber. I don't care.
I don't care when I'm with my baby. Yeah. All the bad things disappear.
Number three, Khalid's Talk.
Can we just talk? Can we just talk?
Jam. Number two, Billie Eilish's Bad Guy.
So you're a tough guy, like you really
would you have known that one?
Yes.
I forgot I was asking you the songs. I kind of got into them too much. I'm not bad. Number one, what do you think number one is? Song of the summer. Easy.
I need a hint.
No, it's just the biggest song. It's the biggest song, period. It's on Old Town Road. It was on
Okay, sorry. I wasn't. We playing all this. I wasn't going country.
Oh, so you consider this song country?
I do. Okay.
But it was still number one in the Billboard charts for like 18 weeks.
For like ever.
In the world.
I know. They were all buying.
It's funny that your mind goes, I didn't know the list was country.
What's this in the back?
Because to you, that says your heart considers this a country song.
Yes, and Billy Ray Cyrus is on it.
Yeah. Good. Okay, here are my top five songs of the summer, country. I did not put All Town Road on it. Because I'm just kind of like, whatever.
Right.
I didn't put it right down the middle in the country category, but I love arguing people when they go, well, that's not country.
Okay,
because you know what country is to me? Something that's just speaking a message.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, from me, Maren Morris, Girl.
Girl, won't you stop your crying? I know that you're dreading. Everything's gonna be
number four. Because it has been streamed and downloaded so many times, and I don't think it's getting the credit, and I think radio stations are missing out by not playing it. I think they're actually hurting themselves by not playing it. Because it's like, you're a radio station. Give people a little bit of fun.
Oh, the Star is Born song?
No, Blanco Brown, the Get Up.
Oh, that. Oh, yeah.
Cowboy boogie. Grab a sweetheart and spin a wheel. Do the hold down and get into it.
Yeah.
So good.
Number three, I have Morgan Wallen, Whiskey Glasses.
I'm gonna need some whiskey glasses, cause I don't wanna see the truth.
And then number two, my songs of the summer, Kane Brown, Good As You. This is a jam.
I just wanna wake up every day here in this bed.
I mean, kind of a travesty. He didn't get nominated for a CMA. You know, he deleted his Twitter account.
Saw that.
I don't know if it's back. Is it back? Anybody know if his Twitter account's back? Kane Brown?
Why did he delete it?
I don't know. But I guess he was just mad. He put up a GIF and he was like, I'm mad that I didn't get it. I can tell you, and I'm on good terms with the CMA now. I actually love the CMA now. But I had a point where I was so different that I was not, they weren't allowing me to do anything. Or I remember when I didn't get nominated for personality the first time, I was like, everybody's got to die before I get nominated, I guess. And then the Washington Post had a whole story on me spouting off. I've corrected that and went, you know what, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
Maybe I shouldn't have just jumped out and said, hey, he's back up, Mike.
Yeah, Kane Brown's back on Twitter.
Like, I understand where he's coming from because I've also been there. Where you're different, you're doing things that the format's not seen before, which Kane's doing, which, you know, is what we have done on this show. And then you go, how am I not being recognized? Kane Brown, I get it. I get it. So I'm just... I've done it too. Can't hate on you for it.
Did anybody else vote for Old Town Road over the CMA stuff?
I did not.
I did.
Did you?
Was it up there?
It was up for the
something.
The collaboration, event. Whatever. Event. The event. Yeah.
I voted for Brantley and Lindsay.
Solid.
You voted. Hold on. You voted for Lil Nas X over Brantley Gilbert and Lindsay L.
What's wrong with that?
We actually know them. Lindsay's like a friend of yours.
I wasn't not trying to. That wasn't me not voting for Lindsay.
But I know.
That was me voting for Old Town Road.
I know. I hear you.
Interesting.
And then number
okay,
one.
Okay, Eddie, who'd you vote for?
No, the way you twisted the words was very interesting.
Okay.
Well,
did you, I don't remember who I voted for that. I don't remember.
Oh. Number one is Beer Never Broke My Heart from me, Song of the Summer, Luke Combs. There you go. That to me is the biggest song of the summer.
Good.
How about that Kane Brown Marshmallow? Was that, would that go down as a country song?
I mean, I don't think they're pushing. We play it.
It's a good song.
Because I like Kane Brown, and Kane Brown and Marshmallow are playing our iHeart Country Festival. I'll put it in the dance party tomorrow.
Oh.
But I don't know. I don't get in the game. I don't even really pick music anymore. I don't even really go. If I like something, I play it. Otherwise, we have like four songs an hour that we play that's picked by our programmers. The biggest songs, always the biggest songs. But I kind of
got off
that.
They should pick the Get Up. That is so good.
Well, I think a lot of people that. I just won't. I just don't feel like that battle. You know, Amy, I choose my battles now. And I've also got out of that game of, let me tell you about this artist, because you see other people running other platforms penalizing artists that some people pick. It's just a whole toxic situation. So unless I'm just like super feeling it, I don't even play it. It's like,
eh. That's
just
a bummer.
I just do me now. Mm-hmm. Pretty good at that, to be honest with you.
Do you?
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
Jermaine Bell is turning 7 next month, and when he was 6, he told his mom and dad, all I want for my 7th birthday is to go to Disneyland, please. So they've been saving money for an entire year. They're going to take him. Then the hurricane's hitting Florida, and he's like, Mom and Dad, we need to spend that money to help. So they went and bought hot dogs, hamburgers, food, drinks for evacuees from the hurricane that are staying in South Carolina, cooked them hot dogs, and he said, Disneyland can wait.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Somebody will jump up to and go, hey, we're going to help that kid out.
Mm-hmm.
And they should give that money away, too.
Yeah. Disney should step up and get him one of those escorts.
That's true.
What are they called?
That's true.
A plane?
No.
They have an escort that walks you around.
You get in, you get
when
to
when I
cut
went with
all
ABC, they sent me and they cut all the lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, they should
amazing.
Do that.
Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Sister Hazel.
Pretty cool for me because I'm such a big fan of you guys.
Nice like, to hear that.
This
man.
Is
thanks,
one of those.
Bobby.
Where I was just talking on the air, and I was like, you know, it'd be cool to get those guys on because I love those guys, and I'm glad that people started texting you guys.
Man, my phone blew up. Yeah. Like, as soon as that whole thing started, it's been really cool. What were you like two when we first had?
I don't know if I was two, but like whenever like All For You hit
97. Right
okay, so
there.
I was still in high school.
Yeah.
And, but you guys were young too, though, huh?
Yeah.
When that hit for you guys, where were you guys?
18. We were late.
Lying.
We were late 20s already. Yeah.
And
yeah.
You guys got together in Gainesville because you guys are SEC guys like me.
Yeah, we're Florida boys, Gainesville Gators.
And it started with you two?
Yeah, we were an acoustic duo for a while, and then he had the bright idea to split the income five ways instead of just two. And
did you guys do that, though? Because my question is with bands, if you're already in, do you bring everybody on an equal level at first?
Yeah,
we did.
It was the only way it was going to work. Songs. I had visions for them where I wanted to hear them with the band, and I heard them with harmonies. I heard them with a certain kind of southern rhythm section, and I knew he was going to be the guy. The bass players, the energy that he brings, I knew it was going to have the fingerprint that I had in my head, and I had to see that manifest. I had to see that come to life, and when it did, you know, for better or for worse, five of us get behind our instruments, and we make a noise. You know, sounds like Sister Hazel.
I wonder if you guys ever go and see someone sing karaoke and they sing this song. Have you ever been and randomly seen someone go, it's Hot Sam?
Oh, absolutely. I get videos sent to me all the time via text, but we had a funny incident one time when we were touring that there was a karaoke bar in one of the hotel lobbies. And Ken, the crew called Ken down, and they had signed him up to sing All For You on the karaoke thing.
And
he gets up there, and people were like, yeah, it's pretty good. You sound kind of like the guy. You know, it was
hilarious.
Well,
I was sitting at the bar. I had a couple of drinks. They just wanted to hang out. All of a sudden, I hear her go from the other room. Next up, we've got Ken Block, and he's going to sing Sister Hazel's All For You. And I'm like, you sons of guns. So I went over there, like, hey. And so I walked up to the mic, and I'm like, looking at this, you know, the little knob on it or whatever. And she goes, you don't do this very much, do you? And I'm like, no, I don't. So I started singing in it, and about, you know, you're looking out there, and they're very territorial. Like, one guy pulls out like a switchblade comb, and he's looking, and all that. And they're like, who's the new guy? And then all of a sudden, I see this lady go, I saw him on Regis and Kathy Lee last week. And all of a sudden, they kind of figured out who I was. And it was so fun to have all those people just get on that song.
See, that tells you how old we are right there.
But what a thrill it would be.
Yeah, Regis and Kathy Lee.
To be at a karaoke place.
Yeah.
And Ken, who sings the song in the band anyway, gets up and actually sings the song.
Right.
Did you have to look at the words, though?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He still has to do that. To look at the words, yeah.
Teleprompter.
I'm glad you guys are here. We're going to spend a little time with you. If you guys, why don't we start with that? Do you guys mind doing off?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
This is I was like 10th grade.
Woo.
I loved this song.
This opened a ton of doors for us, so we're super thankful for this.
Do you get a, because Hanson doesn't want to play Mbop. And that was their biggest song.
Dude, we'll play this song 10 times right now if you want. I mean, we're very thankful. Look, we don't take this for granted, man. This is a tough business, and this song opened a lot of doors for us. I'll play this song as many times as people will listen.
It's not like when we're playing it, we're musically going, wow, this feels so fun. It's like it's the ability to light up a room or to light up an audience anywhere, like to show up and just play that song, and people go, oh. They just light up.
I love it.
Thanks, man.
Still love this song. Okay, Sister Hazel is here. Here is all for you. Hey, guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby Bones. Did you guys play the Opry last night? The Grand Ole Opry?
Yes, we did. Yeah.
I saw on their Twitter feed you guys don't live here, right?
No. Not anymore. Some of us had lived here.
Our keyboard player Dave does.
Our drummer lived here for a while, but we don't. We're here a lot.
Where do you guys live? Atlanta?
Gainesville.
You live back in Gainesville?
The two of us live in Gainesville, yeah.
I live in D.C. area, Northern Virginia.
So how does that work with the band? You guys have to come. Okay, we're going to practice at 3 p.m., fly in.
Well,
we're actually more efficient that way because there's plane flights and hotel rooms. So when it's time to practice, we can't mess around. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. We all fly to where, like this week, we'll all fly to, everybody else will fly to Boston. We'll meet there, jump on the bus, and then we'll tour around and do our thing, and then everybody flies home. So
we build in rehearsals on the road at soundcheck. And, you know, sometimes if we've got a new record coming out, we'll just woodshed it for a couple of days. But we made it work, man.
You guys have a record coming out tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Earth. Crazy.
Yeah, what's happening with that?
It's the fourth in a 4-EP series. We got tired of just waiting a year or two or longer between records. You know, we just like to keep that momentum going. You know, an object in motion. You know,
keeps, inertia.
Yeah, inertia. And so we decided to do this 4-EP set, and this is the final one called Earth. And if I had to say so...
Yeah, I like this one a lot.
I was going to ask if you like these songs or not.
I really, really...
I'll tell you what's cool, though, is that because we've been writing and recording so quickly, we've gotten into a groove. And so we're already, like, planning the next thing after this. So this record comes out tomorrow, but we, you know, never in our career had we been back in the studio before we even released the next record, and we've been doing that lately. And it's kind of made the process really fluid, and we've all kind of gotten into a groove. So hopefully we'll just kind of keep doing that. Because, man, releasing music these days is so different. You know what I mean? It's not like the old days. We'd sit around and try to whittle it down from 25 songs to end up with, you know, probably 14 or 15 songs and then make a record and go do it. It's not – people don't really listen to music that way anymore. And
not
so,
long form. Our attention spans are so short.
Right.
Attention spans are short. And you can't bite off that whole record. You know, those old records took you on a journey. You know, now you can have a shorter journey with a little EP.
Yeah.
Did anyone back in the day open up for you guys? It was pretty cool. And you look back going, I can't believe they opened up for me back in the day.
Everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, you name it. You know, Gavin DeGraw was a guy that came out and opened for us a while, and then he went. And,
Zach Brown.
Yeah, Zach Brown came out. Zach Brown was on the Rock Boat for many years.
6 years before anyone knew who he was.
Yeah. And now he won't even call me back.
Creed opened for us.
Really?
Yeah, Creed opened for us in Tallahassee, yeah.
Who are your friends in country music? I know you guys know Darius, right?
Yeah, real good, real close with Darius. Yeah, and
we're so happy to see the success that he's had. It's just been great. And we, you know, Luke, we're really excited for Luke and his camp over there.
Combs?
Yeah, Luke Combs. Yeah. His manager is Chris Cappy and Lynn over there. Lynn Oliver over there have been friends with us since we were all in college together, sleeping on each other's couches.
Lee Bryce was the very first cut Lee got in Nashville was on a Sister Hazel record. Me and Lee and Stan Lynch, who was the drummer for Tom Payne, the Heartbreakers, for a bunch of years, we wrote a song.
Another Gainesville band.
And that was the first cut that Lee got when he was in Nashville. So I've known Lee for a long time. And Jack Sizemore, who was a guitar player out of Gainesville, that actually me and Ken and Britton Cameron and Jack Sizemore used to do a four-part harmony thing, acoustic thing all the time. And now Jack's out playing for Jason Aldean. He's been touring with him for a bunch of years. And so there's, we've crossed paths with a ton of people from this area. And look, the songwriters and the musicians from Nashville, you can't outright or play.
That's why everybody comes here to write.
I know, it's crazy.
We've been doing it for 12, 15 years already. And so it didn't have the LA thing. It had its own. We're from the South. We're all pushing in the same direction. And we can make something really special happen.
Sister Hazel's here. I want to play some of this new song. Do we have the new one up, Ray? All right. So tell me about this song.
So this song is a song called Raising a Rookie. And I had gone up to Charleston with a friend of mine, Barry Dean, who's a writer from here in Nashville, and we hooked up with Darius and wrote a few songs. And one of the songs that we wrote ended up on a record of ours called Lighter in the Dark. That was a song called Karaoke Song. Well, this is another song out of that batch of songs that we wrote that week, and it's just something that's resonated with people, and it's really about raising our kids. You know, we kind of sat there and we're talking about, Darius and I both have sons, and we were talking about the challenges of that. And so that's how we came up with Raising a Rookie.
So this is Raising a Rookie that you're hearing right now.
Yeah, I love the way this track came out.
Play some of this.
Just to know that they would make it through the trials and the heartaches. Raising a rookie, doing the best we can, helping them find their way. It takes more than you. Make a man, a rookie.
So that song, is it out now or does it come out tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
So yeah. It comes out tomorrow. Because I haven't tomorrow. Heard it yet, and I'm like, yeah. Oh boy, should I have known this song? But it comes out tomorrow.
Comes out tomorrow, yeah.
So Sister Hazel's here. Here, let's do a part of one more song. I was looking at, because I'm a big fan. I even had like the records when you guys were the fan club party and you record the whole live thing. Like, I'm just,
that's cool.
I'm a big Sister Hazel fan.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bobby.
Thank you, Bob. I didn't know I even said it like that. Like Mandolin Moon, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Can you
hear something about, me and Ryan and Jed, our bass player, locked ourselves in a hotel room trying to write one day. And we wrote like all day and nothing was happening.
It was terrible. Ken went home and Jet and I were in the hotel. And I said, songwriting should not be that hard. It should be something that comes right off the top of your head. And I grabbed a guitar and went.
Yeah, man,
and just started doing the.
Do you write like that melody first?
Sometimes.
Like where you're like, dude, and then you insert the words over the top?
For me, most of the time,
I call them vowel movements.
I call them vowel movements. Yeah.
So, like, can we hear a little bit of Mandolin Moon? Just maybe a little verse and chorus? You ever write on phones now and be like, hey, I wrote this. What do you think about this? Send it
Absolutely.
Over.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's how we do the show. I'm not even here right now.
Yeah.
I sent this all in on text message.
Yeah, we did this 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So here's the deal. The record comes out tomorrow. It's an EP. Any body of work now is a record to me.
Right, yeah, me
so
too.
So the record comes out tomorrow from Sister Hazel. Earth. It's the fourth of you guys' EP releases.
Yeah.
And that Raising a Rookie. Let's play a little bit of Good For You too, Raymundo. This is a song right now from Sister Hazel.
Good for you. Good for you.
This one I know. It's out already, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making sure. Well, listen, guys, we've spent 20 minutes here playing, talking. I appreciate you guys coming by.
Man, thanks so much for having us. It's a great thing. And you've got a great thing going here. And like I said, our phones, as soon as you even mentioned our name, my phone blew up. So thanks so much for that.
Wonder who else I could do that with. All right.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
Right. Phone
Ta-da.
Blow up.
Yeah. Who else can we do that little trick with? Thank you, guys.
Good to see you.
Sister
thank
Hazel
you.
Here on the Bobby Bone Show. Check out the record tomorrow. There it is.
Bobby Bone, come on.
I got a couple things I want to mention to you guys. First, if you check out the newest episode of the Bobbycast, it's a podcast I do from my house. I had on SJ Tui, who is the real life kid from the movie The Blind Side. So in the movie, if you haven't seen it, by the way, watch it. It's awesome. You know, they adopt a guy and the guy ends up being an NFL player, and it's really a wonderful story. And so here is SJ talking about how Sandra Bullock came to his school because she came to shadow his mom for a week before they shot the movie.
Sandra Bullock was around for a while. She came for a week or so, and her and my mom did different things, and she kind of shadowed her.
Did you meet Sandra Bullock when she was with your mom?
Yeah, she came to my high. She came to Briarcrest one day. We went to high school. That was the one time I met her, and then I met her one time on set. We actually played a game in Atlanta for high school basketball, and they were filming in Atlanta.
He talked about how well his mom was portrayed in the movie versus real life.
Scarily pretty good. That was the most accurate part of that movie. And everyone always asks, you know, what's the similarity? I'm like, Sandra Bullock in that movie is much nicer than my mom is in real life. But other than that, there's some similarities for sure.
I asked him, too, did you make any money from the movie? And
no, we did get money from, like, them using our name, like the book rights, you know, when it sold. And I get to speak now and stuff and get to promote a lot of good costs. So there's platforms that it provided, but no, there was not some kind of, we weren't that smart. Who knew that? No movies make money, right? Like, every movie loses money, and, like, we're the one that didn't, though.
Yeah, right.
We were not that smart on the front end.
He was in sixth grade, and he was like, I can't believe this is all happening. He didn't even know what was going on, really.
Oh, wow,
he knew they were making a movie, but he's like, what movie makes money? And then Sandra Bullock, it's a great story, too, about how that whole movie came about, because it wasn't, they didn't go, here's our story. His dad used to play ball and was the announcer for the Memphis Grizzlies. And one of his dad's buddies came to write a story about his dad in a book and was like, hey, do you guys adopt somebody? He's like, yeah. Comes back later, like a year later, and it's like, hey, what's up with the adoption? Are you guys still doing that? And told him the story. He's like, oh, I should write that. It was written as an article in like New York Times.
Oh, wow.
And then the article gets blown up into a book, and then the book turns into a movie.
Cool.
So check it out. It's the newest episode of the Bobbycast. And I know him because he picked me up when I went to the University of Arkansas football game. He works as one of the guys under Coach Morris at the University of Arkansas. It's crazy. So had him on. You can check that out. Check. Bobby Bones Show. I want to go to Beth in Florida, who's on the phone right now. Hey, Beth, thanks for calling the Bobby Bones Show. What do you want to say?
Hey, Bobby. I was just calling, talking about what Carrie was saying. You do kind of draw out the Bobby, and there's one, but it's cute though, and it's nice when you do a commercial for an app for gas and you say, this is Bobby Bones, and if you want an app that pays you cash for gas or something like that.
She knows the commercial.
Yeah, it's funny.
That's awesome. I am not arguing that I haven't said it before. I just don't think it's my normal way of talking. Here is Carrie Underwood doing an impression of me, basically. Go ahead.
I'm Carrie Underwood, filling in for Bobby Bones this weekend. I feel like I should read his name like he says it. Bobby Bones. It's got like a little pause.
He's never been called out about
Bobby that. Bones.
Next time you're on, please.
Okay. I'm going to do it. I'm Carrie Underwood, filling in for Bobby Bones this week on The Countdown, and we're up to number 17.
Listen to the peanut gallery in the background going, call him out on that. On what?
Bobby Bones.
I don't hear it, but okay. So I'm beefing with Carrie Underwood? Is that what we consensus we've reached? Beef.
You're offended by it.
I'm so angry. I'm so mad. I'm beefing with Carrie now. You know, yesterday they named Miranda Lambert's The House That Built Me as the song of the decade at the for ACM Honors, and they gave him the trophies. It is probably her signature song. Now, she didn't write it, but it's her signature song. And I have one of the writers here, and this is kind of a songwriter buddy-ish of mine named Tom Douglas. And this is him talking about how this song took 7 years to get right.
We knew that there was something there. And the truth is, we had too much detail. And at the very end, so, you know, 7 years later from when we started, we had to take out some detail. And we didn't have, if I can just come in, I swear I'll leave, won't take nothing but a memory. We didn't have that, which is the line that precedes the hook. And as you know, the line that precedes the hook is often more important, or as important as the hook itself.
So he's talking about the song. Again, it took 7 years to get the song right. And this is Tom talking about how the song then got to Miranda Lambert so she could hear it before she recorded it.
So the story goes, so Sony Terry Wakefield plays it for Scott Hendricks, who's producing Blake Shelton. Scott Hendricks sends the tape or a CD with 10 songs on it to Blake Shelton every week to listen to songs. He comes back from tour. He puts the CD in his truck, and he's going down this highway, and third song in, it's The House That Built Me. His girlfriend at the time starts weeping, and he says, baby, what's wrong? And she says, that's my story. And he said, well, if that's your story, maybe that's your song.
So it could have been Blake's song.
Wow.
And they were dating, and she hears it while Blake's listening to music. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
How that song came about? And here is the demo that they recorded of The House That Built Me before Miranda got it. So here you go.
I thought if I could touch this place or feel it, this brokenness inside me might start healing. Out here it's like I'm someone else. I doubt that maybe I could find myself. If I could just come in, I swear I'll leave. Won't take nothing but a memory from the house that built me.
Pretty cool, huh?
Wow, goosebumps.
Isn't that whole, I wish he would put that out. I mean, that's such a good version, too.
So good.
Miranda made it so popular with hers, and it's even cool to hear how it was written before that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we're going to put this up on the show feed today, this episode I did with Tom Douglas of the Bobbycast. So if you subscribe to the Bobby Bone Show, the podcast, this is going to pop up in it today. And it won ACM for Song of the Decade, and I wanted to like highlight this because this is a fantastic story, fantastic songwriter. He also wrote, you know, Keith Urban, Raise 'Em Up. It's just a good podcast, so... It's one of the reasons I like doing that podcast, all these songwriters. I get to know them, get to hear the cool stories. So, yeah, there's that. Lunchbox broke his foot. Is that true?
I think so. I was playing soccer last night, co-ed soccer, dude, and I got hit in the foot, and now I can barely walk on it. I had to sit out the rest of the game, and my wife had to come and help me to the car, and I had to put ice on it, and I'm going to go to the doctor today and get an x-ray.
Time marches on. It's probably not even broken. It's probably just old.
Oh, man, it has to be broken because I can barely walk. Like, I mean, it immediately started bruising. It's just, and all I did was get hit by the soccer ball.
Oh, no one stepped on it? No one kicked you?
Someone shot, and I blocked it with my foot, and down I went. I mean, it...
How's your calcium intake?
You know, but here's the thing about injuries. A lot of them happen with random hits.
Right,
in odd places.
Because they say something was already maybe wrong with it, and then you... Like, when you twist your ankle, like, going... all I did was step off a curb, and bang, my ankle. But... I've heard that it's because there was already something going on there, a little loose, and all it took was a little, you know, like soccer ball.
I would even compare it to dropping your iPhone, where the iPhone may not be broken at all, but if you drop it at just that right angle, because I can drop my phone, won't break, 50 times, but if it falls like 3 inches and it hits right at that odd angle, like maybe it just tagged you in an odd spot.
That's what I mean, and maybe it's just a deep bone bruise. I don't know, but I have to go to the doctor today to get it x-rayed because... Painful. I had ice on it all night and didn't sleep well. I mean, it was awful. I had to hop up the stairs on 1 foot.
What did you take to go to sleep? Anything?
Advil.
How many? Yeah,
3. I don't know how many you're supposed to take. And then coming down the stairs today, I just slid down on my butt.
Well, you could at least
really?
Take 4.
Yeah.
make some Advil stew.
Yeah.
Pour it all in a bunch of water. Oh. You know how they make almond milk? They take water and almonds and they drain it. You pour a bunch of Advil in. Drain the water and drink Advil water all the time. Hydration and fixing your foot.
Oh, I'll look into that.
Dude, how about that? That's a pretty good idea, huh?
Sounds illegal, but yeah.
Yeah, sounds like, I don't know.
Andrew in Oklahoma is on. Andrew, what's happening, bud?
Hey, how you guys doing? Morning, studio.
Morning.
Hey, Lunchbox. I was listening to the radio, and you said you were playing co-ed soccer.
Yeah.
Have you always played soccer or you just do it for fun?
Oh, no, no. I've been playing since I was like 4 years old, dude. I'm like, I'm next level USA. Like, I could be getting called up anytime.
Next level. They need somebody.
Well, yeah. But, yeah, I play all the time. Been playing since I was 4. So, I mean, that's like 30-something years.
Dang.
What position do you play?
Okay, listen. We're not going to get into a soccer breakdown here. What position do you play?
I play everything. Because co-ed is just 6-on-6, so you just run up and down the field.
How many goals did you score last year?
I only had 2 last season.
All right. Andrew, anything else you want to ask him, Andrew?
Nope. Just want to say soccer is the best. I've been playing since I was 4 as well. Still play. So just keeping in the family.
All right, bud. Appreciate that call.
Oh, I thought he was going to bash soccer.
You guys have a good day.
All right. See you later.
That's a smart guy right there.
A woman goes, all right, I'm going to take this test. You got one of those DNA tests? Mm-hmm. Like 23andMe?
Right.
Got it as a gift. She's like, all right, I'm going to take this. Her husband and 2-year-old son got her a gift together. 2-year-old can't buy it, but so it's like, hey, this is from us. And so she takes it and, you know, spits in the tube. And she wrote, the results came back. And me and my husband are first cousins.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah. Oh. She said, quote, the news unsettles me and has left my husband's world in tatters. To make matters even more confusing, the couple now suspects that the revelation can mean that the husband's father was unfaithful to his wife. With his wife's sister? Is that how that would go? She added, my parents have been married for 30 years and my husband has always held his mother close to sainthood. The woman then went on to explain how her father-in-law is always boasting about how he married the first girl he ever kissed. So, but yeah, they took the test. Turns out they're first cousins.
Oh, so their families are friends and then they thought they were just friends, but they're related. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Somebody's got some explaining to do.
A U.S. woman's held in the Philippines at the airport after they find a baby in her bag. Did you see this story?
I didn't.
An American woman is in custody in the Philippines after she tried to fly out of the country with a baby in her hand luggage. The 43-year-old woman had been caught with a child in her bag. It was just 6 days old. She appeared to be traveling alone and only presented her personal passport. But staff inspected the oversized carry-on suitcase. They found the kid inside. Quote, she had no travel documents for the infant. She claimed to be the child's aunt, but did not provide any evidence. The case has been handed over to the Philippines National Bureau of Investigation. So it sounds like she, just reading the story, only knowing surface, she bought the baby.
Maybe, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, bought it, took it, stole it. I don't know.
She acquired the baby through means that wasn't legal and tried to get it into America.
Okay. Wow. Well, then yes.
Well, I bet she's like, please don't check my bag. Please don't check my bag. Oh, no.
Did she really think that was going to work, though?
I bet it does all the time. I bet it happens
all the time. A baby carry-on?
Sure. I'm sure that's a way that they're able to get babies out of there all the time. Someone probably recommended her do it like that.
Yeah, they probably told her this is how you do it.
But the babies don't cry?
Maybe they give
the
it a...
The chance you take, I guess.
What's the medicine you take that makes me sleepy?
Oh, true.
Sudafed?
Sudafed, yeah.
Maybe at 6 days old, you just knock the baby out.
And all you have to do is get the baby through that one point in the airport.
Yeah, you're right.
Once you get on the plane or anywhere else, no one's going to check you.
You're right. I was thinking, golly, you're taking the baby, putting it in the overhead bin.
Like it's no. Okay. You just like you're taking your bag and you get it through.
Okay, I get it now. I get it. The Bobby Bone
Show. All right, there you go. Here's some signs your man is cheating on you. Ready, Amy?
Ready.
He's a pilot. Huh. I'm just kidding. That's not on the list.
You always say that, though.
I know, but usually they're like professions that can cheat.
I know, pilot.
Yeah. Unexplained items in the car.
Okay.
I guess regardless of what it is. Because if it's like girls' underwear,
well,
then for sure.
Obviously.
Then for sure. But I guess maybe if it's just...
I don't know what's the unexplained item.
It can be anything
item.
That shouldn't be there. Joining a new gym all of a sudden. Your husband is the why.
I know, but that's not new. It's not all of a sudden.
Hanging up on calls real quickly when you walk in the room.
No.
Running errands at odd times.
No.
And finally, buying new clothes out of nowhere.
He flies at odd times.
Any of that happening, Amy?
Flies at odd times. Buying what? What's the last one?
Buying new clothes out of nowhere.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
I have to shop for him.
Those are things, but you have nothing to worry about.
Thank you.
Thanks to Sister Hazel for coming by. Tomorrow on the show, Ronnie Dunn will be in. Also, we'll talk to Kelsey Ballerini tomorrow and do her world premiere. What's going on with you today, Amy?
I will be flying to L.A. to do the Trisha Yearwood iHeart Theater Show, the album release party.
So 9 o'clock central tonight, you can listen to Amy and Trisha Yearwood. They'll be premiering some of Trisha's music, playing some of it. She's going to perform.
Yes.
It's a whole thing out in Los Angeles. Watch it at livexlive.com or on their Twitter account. I'm going to my new therapist today at 2:30.
Ooh, that's big. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah. I got a call. I wrote this 27-page speech that I'll be doing. It's like a big half, 45-minute talking thing. And so I gave it to a guy. I was like, hey, will you read over this? And so I got to meet with him today and see his notes. Because it's always good to have somebody look over it. And he's written a bunch of political speeches for people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, will you look over this? So I got to meet with him today, too.
Oh.
And see if he thinks it's... Not if he thinks it's any good, but I always like to hear what other roads I can go down.
Right.
Can't get worse by getting feedback.
Nope.
Can always reject feedback, but you can't get worse by hearing it. That's what I'm doing today. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out. Tomorrow will be a big show. Like I said, big announcement from Ronnie Dunn tomorrow. So that'll happen here on the show. All right, that's out. You can go vote on our draft. Today it's Wedding First Dance Songs. Go to BobbyBones.com and hit those. Thanks, and we will see you guys tomorrow. The Bobby Bones Show.